upon the word. And those of you that are watching online, if you want to learn a bit more about our ministry or pick up books or something off the product table, you can go to our website. It's www.timetomoveit.org. Time to move it, and you use the number 2 instead of the word T-O. All right? Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together in your house with your people. Lord, we're looking forward to what you're going to do today. This is an appointed time. And Father, we thank you for divine appointments and divine connections. And we thank you, God, that every heart is open and ready to receive what you have for us today. And Father, let the incorruptible seed of your word be planted into the good soil of our hearts, so that seed will produce fruit and fruit that remains. And we're going to be quick to give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Before you're seated, turn to neighbor, give somebody an air high five. Or an air fist bump. Tell them, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. Amen. Go ahead and take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 2 Peter. We'll get there in just a moment. 2 Peter. I believe that we are living in a season where God has his church on the threshing floor. Amen. And he is separating the chaff from the wheat. I believe that God is desiring to break the church out of the rut of religious thinking. And I believe he wants to form a new wineskin in which he can pour new wine into. Amen? And I believe one of the main things that God is trying to do is to get the church of North America to develop a kingdom mindset and a kingdom mentality. Folks, we have been called to preach the gospel of the kingdom. We have not been called to preach the gospel of salvation. Amen. Now, let me explain that before you brand the Yankee as a heretic. We understand salvation is the door to the kingdom, right? What did Jesus say to Nicodemus? Except a man be born again, he can't enter, he can't see the kingdom of God. But folks, Jesus never went around preaching a gospel of salvation. He went around preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Amen? So listen, Jesus dying on the cross was not just to save us from hell. That was a great byproduct. But that was not the main reason he died. He died to restore to us the kingdom. Amen? So listen, what the church has been preaching is this gospel of salvation. Come to Jesus, get saved, go to heaven, don't go to hell. Right? It's what we've been preaching. So people have responded, haven't they? They've come to church, they've come to Jesus to get saved, right? But then it's like, now what? I don't know, come next week and we'll tell you some sin you shouldn't commit. Then come next week, we'll tell you another sin you probably shouldn't be doing. Right? And we become sin conscious, rather than God conscious. We've not taught our people how to live in the kingdom, how to receive their healing, how to walk by faith, how to live in love, how to live at peace, how to receive full provision, how to understand and operate in kingdom finances, how to take influence and make influence and take over and occupy. We've not taught them that. All we taught them is come to Jesus, get saved, don't go to hell. Let's go to heaven. Folks, we've got to break away from that mentality, and we've got to break into a kingdom mentality. Sadly, what we've done a lot in our churches across America is we have developed what I call this entertainment mentality. You know, where we come to church to get entertained. We come find our favorite seat, and we sit down, and we watch the show. Huh? I'm reminded of the family that was leaving church after church one Sunday, and the dad, as he was driving to the restaurant, was complaining about how long-winded and dry the preacher was. And the mama started chiming in about how sour the choir sounded. And the teenage girl was griping about how the worship team didn't sing one song she knew. And the little boy chimed in and said, well, for a dollar, I thought it was a pretty good show. Huh? We have developed this mentality. And listen, I don't think we've tried to do it on purpose, but I think what we've done is we have subconsciously taught our people that you who are in the pew are inferior, and we who are on the platform are superior. And if ministry is going to get done, it's going to get done by we few who are on the platform and not you in the pew. Now listen, that's entertainment mentality. That's not kingdom mentality. Because in the kingdom of God, every born again believer can lay hands upon the sick and see them recover. Every born again believer can cast out demons. Every born again believer can have signs and wonders following them. Amen? And listen, we're not talking anarchy in the church. We understand that God has established an authority flow chart in Ephesians 4:11. He's given some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But why? So we can hog the limelight and steal the show? No, so we can equip the saints so the saints can go do the work of the ministry. But folks, if we don't develop this kingdom mindset, we will never fulfill our kingdom mission. Because our mind will be our greatest help, or our mind will be our greatest hindrance. Listen, if I don't renew my mind with the Word of God, let me tell you what's going to happen. My mind is going to be full of blame, shame, guilt, fear, doubt, suspicion, carnality, condemnation. Huh? Nod at me if you know what I'm talking about. But if I start to renew my mind with the Word of God, then I start to understand my identity in Christ. I start to understand my inheritance in Jesus. I start to understand my role and my rights and my responsibilities as kings and priests unto God. Amen? So let's read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. I want to see what Peter has to say about righteousness, because I believe if we really understand what righteousness is, it will be a key that will help us maintain a kingdom mindset. 2 Peter 1:1. Say amen if you got it. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us how many things? All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, I want to focus on this word righteousness. Righteousness is not the goody-goody two-shoe way you live and talk. That's not righteousness. That's self-righteousness, but that's not God's righteousness. Amen? Let me share with you three things of what righteousness is. Number one, it's your right standing with God. The very moment that you get born again, you are in perfect fellowship with the Father. He's not mad at you. He's not embarrassed by you. He's not ashamed of you. If he carried a wallet, your picture would be in it. If he had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. We become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and God is as pleased with you and me as he is with his own Son. Woo! It's good stuff. Number two, righteousness is the ability of God that comes to live inside of us. We get God's power and ability. Come on. The Bible says with God all things are. But then the Bible says all things are possible to them that believe what? Believe that God's power and ability is inside of them. That's why the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Ephesians says it this way: now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. How? According to the power that works within us. Woo! So righteousness, it's my right standing with God. It's God's power and God's ability that comes to live inside of me. And number three, I love this one. It's the nature of God that comes to live inside of us. See, when we got saved, we got a new nature. We got God's nature. Amen? The divine DNA of God, the divine spark of God comes to now live inside of us. Now, before we got saved, we had a sin nature. And the sin nature, much like a master to a slave, bossed us around. Huh? There are things that we did that we didn't always really want to do. Didn't want to hurt people, but we did. We were self-seeking, self-promoting, self-pleasing, selfish, self-absorbed. Look at your neighbor and say, I used to resemble that. But at salvation, the sin nature is crucified with Christ, and we are now no longer slaves to sin, and sin shall not have dominion over us. Now, as I start to live by the new nature and not the sin nature, it changes my conduct. And folks, that's what we call holiness. Come on, holiness is not the clothes you wear. Holiness isn't a woman's hairdo. Come on. Holiness is when I live by the new nature. Because when I live by the new nature, I might not go the same places I used to go. I might not say the same things I used to say. And I might not wear the same things I used to wear. Why? Because I'm not living by the sin nature. I'm living by the new nature. Amen? I'm different because I'm living by the new nature. Now, Paul comes along and says in 1 Corinthians 15:34, he says, awaken unto righteousness and sin not. Have you ever had to tell somebody, man, you need to wake up and smell the coffee? Huh? What you're saying is you're kind of lagging behind in your revelation. You're not quite, you know, up here with the rest of us. You're like a taco short of a combo platter. You know what I mean? The elevator's not quite going all the way to the top floor. Lights are on, but maybe nobody's home. Hallelujah. Paul says, if you will awaken to what righteousness is, it will be a force that will keep you from sin. Okay, so we got to understand this word righteousness. Go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. I want you to see this verse, Romans 5, 17. It tells us that righteousness is a gift. I can't work for it. I can't earn it. I can't pay for it. Amen? It's a gift. Romans 5, 17. For if by one man's offense, now who's the one guy who got us into all this mess? Everybody say, thank you, Adam. Yeah, one day there's going to be a long line of people wanting to wait to talk to him, huh? For if by one man's offense, death reigned. Now, how far did death reign? Did it just reign over Europe? Did it just reign over America? It reigned over the whole earth. For if by one man's offense death reigned, how much we who have received the abundance. Everybody say abundance. The abundance of grace. We've not just been given grace, but we've given an abundance. A super abounding, overflowing, all-you-can-eat buffet of grace. And the gift. The gift of righteousness. We shall what? Reign in this life. Through the one. Who's the one? Jesus. So if one man's sin could get us into all this mess, how much more we who have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness should be reigning in this life. Folks, I'm here to tell you this life is training for reigning. Come on. It's training for reigning. Now listen, this is my first time in this church. I may or may not be invited back again. It's all right. But let me just go ahead and bust a doctrinal bubble that we have proudly been teaching for a long time. And that is this heaven doctrine that we're all going to die in Christ. And one day we're going to spend all eternity with Jesus in heaven, floating on clouds, eating Philadelphia cheesecake with no calories. Singing in the choir, whatever it is we think we're going to do. Can I just bust that bubble and tell you that ain't happening? I know Bill Gaither's made a lot of money off of that and the songs that he does, but it's just not Bible. It sounds good, but it's not Bible. Come on. It came from the bubonic plague. Did you know that? When 2/3 of Europe was dying from the plague, the Catholic Church sent out its monks and its priests and said, comfort the people. That they're going to a better place where there's no sorrow, no death, no parting, no dying. Just comfort them with that. And that just kind of continued. And so we kind of comfort ourselves that we're going to spend all eternity with God in heaven. But folks, we weren't made for heaven. We were made for the earth. And if you read, now we're going to spend a time there. Don't get excited. Don't get your knickers in a twist. We're going to spend a time and a season there. We're going to have our works judged. Judgment seat of Christ to take place there. We're going to have that 7-year marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, there's a great revival happening in China. Number one reason, God needs somebody to fix that food over there. Because we're going to have Chinese at that 7-year buffet, I'm telling you. Somebody's got to know how to fix it. So there's a revival happening in China. 100,000 people get saved every day in China. Woo, good stuff. So we're going to have that 7-year buffet time. But folks, the Bible's clear. We're coming back to the new earth and the new heaven, not God's heaven, our atmospheric heaven. We're coming back here to what? Rule and reign with Jesus. Now listen, listen. You're only going to be as spiritually mature in heaven or in that afterlife as you are right now. Your spirit man doesn't die. The same spirit man you got now is what you're going to get. Now, I believe we're going to get knowledge in heaven. So we all don't have to stand in line and ask God a bunch of dumb questions. But listen, when my son was 8, I could give him knowledge of how to drive a car, but he didn't have the maturity to drive a car. You understand? So as spiritually mature as you are now, if you would die today, that's as spiritually mature as you're going to be in heaven. That's why this life is training for reigning. That's why God has given some of you some obstacles to overcome to see if you pass the test. And when you look at the dishes in your sink and the laundry in your laundry room and go into a 3-month depression, I'm telling you, you're not ready to rule and reign with Jesus. Come on. That's why this life right here, it's training for reigning. Come on. We got to learn to get above the circumstances. We got to learn to get above the problems of life. Amen. I don't know where that came from, but that sounded good. All right, let's keep moving on. Righteousness. The Bible says the righteous are bold like a lion. You see, when I understand what righteousness really is, I don't have to cower in fear to the forces of darkness. I don't have to fear sickness. I don't have to fear disease. I don't have to fear death. I don't have to fear COVID. Because I understand righteousness, right? Proverbs says it this way. The path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter till the final day. You know what that tells me? That tells me my best days are never behind me. My best days are always ahead of me. Amen. And when the rest of the world is walking in darkness, my path is always going to be light because I understand righteousness and what it really is. Amen. We can be blessed even in the midst of COVID. Come on, 2020, I still had a place to preach every Sunday nonstop. It was our best financial year ever in the midst of all that stuff. Amen? Woo! Folks, I want you to know that the devil's greatest weapon against you is ignorance. He just doesn't want you to know who you are. He wants you to always remember who you were. He wants to keep you in a sinner mentality rather than a saint mentality. Amen? I hear so many people that I know they mean well, but they'll say stuff like, well, bless God, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. They've been saved for 30 years. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you were a sinner who got saved by grace. Now you are a saint of God who is empowered by grace. Amen. I got to get away from that sinner mentality and embrace the saint mentality. I got to get away from the victim mentality and embrace the victor mentality. Folks, we got to start to realize who we are in Jesus. We are royalty. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a royal. Come on, our daddy is king of the universe. Royal blood flows through our veins. And we've got to stop thinking like we're slaves, like we're victims, like we're vagabonds, and we're orphans. Amen? Because Jesus has restored us to a place of rulership and dominion. You've not been saved to sit. You've been saved to serve the king. We all have a destiny, and we've all been created on purpose and for purpose. And we've got to stop seeing ourselves as losers, failures, misfits, broken, and damaged. Too many Christians live their entire Christian life feeling unworthy and condemned. Do you know that? I know I didn't give it to you. Romans 8:1. Could you go to Romans 8:1? So many Christians live their entire Christian life feeling unworthy and condemned. But what does Romans 8:1 say? There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Is that what it says? Now, if you read, it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But can I tell you that in the original Greek, that's not there. In the original Greek, it's not there. In the original Greek, it says there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, period. Early English translators could not understand how there could be no condemnation in Christ. So they added the line, as long as you do what you're supposed to do. I mean, doesn't know what that says? As long as you do what you're supposed to do, no condemnation. No. There's no condemnation. As long as I stay in Christ, there is no condemnation. Folks, it is vitally important for us to get this kingdom mentality. And that requires me to renew my mind so that my brain understands that this body is under new management. Come on. Folks, if I don't renew my mind is going to hold me captive. My mind will hold the new me captive if I don't get my brain renewed. Amen. Even though the new you wants to live for God, if you don't renew the mind, you will keep thinking that you're the old you acting the way you used to. Huh? The old you wanted to sleep in on Sunday. The new you wants to go to church on Sunday. Come on, the old you wanted to go to the party and get lit up. The new you wants to go to the prayer meeting and get fired up. See, there's a difference between the old you and the new you. Amen? Come on. But the mind plays a critical role. It's just like if you got an old mom and pop burger shop in town. And McDonald's comes in and buys them out. But they're going to keep all the same staff. What do you think the first thing McDonald's is going to do? Retrain the staff so they know we're not going to do what we used to do under mom and pop shop. Here's how we're going to do it under McDonald's. Right? It's the same way. You've got to get your mind renewed so your mind knows we're not living under the old mom and pop shop. We're living under the new McDonald's. Amen? I got to live by the new me. So I got to get my mind renewed. So right now, I know who I am in Christ. Right now, I know what power and what authority has been entrusted to me. The Bible says it this way, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, do you think Jesus was thinking thoughts and negativity, fear, inferiority, and guilt? No. And if he wasn't thinking those thoughts, then we shouldn't be thinking those thoughts. But too many Christians today have allowed fear and doubt to hold them back from fulfilling the dream that God has placed in their heart. Come on, every one of you has a God-sized dream inside of you. And when God begins to reveal that dream to you, usually the number one thing that pops in as to why I can't fulfill it is the fear of finances. Do you know that? God gives you a dream. I want you to go back to college. Can't afford it. I want you to start that ministry. Don't have the money. I want you to take this job. Can't do that. Can't risk that. Fear of finances is usually the number one reason why we're not fulfilling the dream that God has put in our heart. But can I just tell you this? That if it's God's vision, there's going to be God's provision. Can I tell you that if God guides, God provides? Can I tell you that if it's His will, it's His bill? And can I tell you that if it's God who's saying, it's God who's paying. Amen? You don't ever have to fear finances. Come on, we serve a big God. Amen? What we got to do is we got to get free from that old way of thinking, that old limited resources, limited vision, and embrace the new nature that has no limits in God. Just keep your mind focused on the word that God is speaking to you. Peter kept his mind focused on the word that God spoke to him, and he walked on water, right? And when he got his mind off the word, what happened? He started to sink. Listen, keep your mind focused on the word that Jesus has spoken. And this is what he said, occupy till I come. Has he come yet? So his orders still stand. occupy till I come. Now listen, that word occupy is a military term. It means to influence and take over. Come on, there was a time in world history where Nazi Germany occupied Austria, occupied France, occupied Poland. What they did was they went into a foreign land and made the foreign land look like their homeland. Jesus said, occupy till I come. It's our job to make this world look like that world. Isn't that what he told us to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What did Jesus say? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I believe he meant all the world systems. How about if we get the gospel of the kingdom in the medical world, the political world, the judicial world, the entertainment world, the educational world, the financial world, every world's system, let's start influencing it with the gospel of the kingdom. Amen? Amen. And folks, we're only going to be able to do this if we develop and maintain a kingdom mindset. I mean, how do you think the early church did it? I mean, really, in less than a generation, the Bible says they turned the world upside down. How'd they do it without a smartphone? I mean, they didn't even have a dumb phone. Come on, they had no phone, no TV, no television, no radio, no printing press, no New Testament. And yet they turned the world upside down. How they do it? They understood the message of Jesus about the gospel of the kingdom. They understood who they were in Christ, and they went forth not just preaching the kingdom, but demonstrating the kingdom with signs and wonders. Amen? Amen. Folks, if we're going to change the world, we have to first be changed ourselves. And I believe Jesus has done his part. I believe he is in a position of rest. He's seated in heavenly places. He's done his part. I mean, come on. He's saved us. He's restored us. He's given us his name, his power, his authority, his spirit. My job is renew the mind so I can live according to the new nature. Listen, I can't expect the world to overcome fear if I can't overcome fear. I can't expect the world to act in faith if I don't act in faith. I can't preach about a God who heals if all I do is isolate myself from the sick. Folks, I'm telling you, when you get a kingdom mindset and a kingdom mentality, things will change. Demons will obey. Resources will multiply. Darkness will flee, and the kingdom of God will expand. When we learn to walk in righteousness and understand righteousness, we will realize who we are, that we're joint heirs with Jesus. We're co-laborers with God. We're more than conquerors. We're kings and priests unto God. We're sons and daughters of the king. We're ambassadors for the king, and we're citizens of the kingdom. And I'm telling you, my friend, there will be no stopping of the advancement of the kingdom of God, for his kingdom rules over everything. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? I want to tell you this story as we bring this to a close. I've had the opportunity and the privilege of going to Jamaica several times to preach the gospel. I went to Bible college with a Jamaican. We graduated from college the same time, and he went back to Jamaica, and of course I went in and did stuff that I was doing in ministry, and I was back living in Maine, and I saw that he was going to be one of the conference speakers at a local Bible college that I served on staff at, and I said, man, I haven't seen Chris in a long time. I want to go and see him. And so we were connected on Facebook, but I had not seen him in a while, so I went back to the conference to get to see him, and it was good seeing him catching up. And he said to me, he says, Tim, I've been so excited about reading what God's been doing in your ministry on Facebook. He said, I'm wondering, when are you going to come to Jamaica and preach the gospel? And I said, well, I guess when I get an invite, I tend not to invade other nations. So he said, well, listen, I'm giving you an invite. He says, would you come be our camp meeting speaker? And I said, well, when is it? He said, February. Pray about it and see what the Lord says. I said, he says, yes. Now, folks, when you live in Maine and somebody invites you to Jamaica in February, how many know there's some things you just don't have to pray about? I mean, you just automatically know the will of God. Hallelujah. And I said, I'll be there. You can start playing if you want. I said, I'll be there. He said, all you got to do, Tim, is book your ticket. Book your ticket and come on down. We'll take care of everything. I said, okay. So as we got closer to the time, I did what I always do. I booked my tickets coach. I'd never flown first class in my life, so I just did what I was used to, booked them coach. And so I took a flight from Logan Airport in Boston, 3 hours down to Miami International, and then from Miami to Kingston, Jamaica, an hour and a half, and had a great, powerful camp meeting. They said, "Tim, this was so awesome. Will you come next year, same time?" I said, "Sure will." But when I got home, I said to my wife, "I got to find a different way to go." I said, it was just too uncomfortable flying coach, because they don't build coach for people like me. I mean, I was sitting in the seat with my back completely up against the seat, and my knees were rubbing the pouch that holds your barf bag in front. You know what I'm talking about? It just was uncomfortable. And my wife says, "Well, you know, you ought to check and see what it would cost to fly first class." I thought, "All right, I'll check it out." So I did. Pastor, I found out for an extra $150, I could fly first class from Logan to Miami, Miami to Kingston, Kingston, Miami, Miami back. I thought, well, man, that's only $75 down, $75 back. I thought, that's a pretty good deal. Now, I'll be honest with you. I didn't know what first class got me, except three things. One, I got to get on the plane first. Two, I got a seat that's a little bit wider and a little more leg room. And three, my bag could be a little heavier. Now, just on those three things alone, I figured, man, this is worth it. So I paid and I was all ready. And there I was at the gate. And I'll have to confess, Pastor, there was pride in my heart as I flew that day. Because I was flying first class. And when the gate agent said, "Boarding first class, boarding first class," what I heard her say was, "Boarding all you special people, not you losers flying coach today." And I thought, man, I'm special. I'm flying first class. And I had my suitcase and I was the first one to get on the plane. Well, you know how it is when you fly coach. You just keep walking the aisle of shame towards the back of the plane where there's three seats. You're usually stuck in the middle with two people bigger than you on either side who want to hog the armrest. So you sit like this the entire time and you wait to get up in the air and level off before somebody will come by and throw you a can of Coke and a packet of pretzels. Amen? Not this time. Oh, no, this time I got one of the front seats. Two, not three together, two together. Extra wide, extra cushiony, extra leg room. I got my suitcase in the overhead compartment. And no sooner did my blessed assurance hit that seat than the lady said to me, "Sir, would you like a beverage?" I said, "Well, we're not up in the air yet." She says, "Oh, you'll have time waiting for the losers. I mean, it's the coach to board." I said, "Well, I'll take a Diet Coke with lime." And sure enough, in a little plastic cup like I'm used to, came my Diet Coke with lime. She was right. I had a chance to enjoy the soda and before everybody got on. And then she came and took everything away. And we got up in the air and got leveled off. She came by. She said, "Sir, would you like another beverage?" I said, "Oh, I've already had my one. Thank you." She goes, "Oh, no, sir. This is first class." She said, "You get more than one."
All right.
I said, "Well, I'll take another Diet Coke with lime." And this time she brought it to me in a real glass. I thought, fancy. A couple moments, she comes down the aisle with a tray in her hand. And on that tray are these little white round porcelain bowls full of warm roasted nuts. She said, "Sir, would you like some warm roasted nuts?" And I said, "Well, how much is it?" She said, "Sir, this is first class. This is already provided for." I said, "Well, all right, I'll take some warm roasted nuts." And I'm telling you, Pastor Ricky, these were the rich people nuts. There wasn't a peanut in the mix, man. This was pecans, pistachios, almonds, and cashews. Rich people nuts. Woo! And I enjoyed those warm nuts and drank my Diet Coke. And a couple minutes later, she comes down the aisle with another tray and a pair of silver tongs. She said, "Sir, would you like a hot towel?" I said, "Well, how much is it?" She said, "Sir, this is first class. This is already provided for." I said, "Sure, I'll take it." So I used it to wipe the salt off my hands and had another refill of my Coke. A few minutes later, the lunch tray comes down. She said, sir, would you like some lunch? I said, well, what do you have? She told me what she had. And then you know what my question was? How much is it? Now, I could sense she's getting perturbed. She said, sir, this is first class. It's already provided for.
Come on.
I said, all right, why don't you give me that salad with the sliced roast beef and cheese roll on top, and I'll take another Diet Coke with lime. She set in front of me this tray with real china, real silverware, little mini salt and pepper shakers just for me. They're going to chuck them when they're done. And I'm enjoying my lunch, and I'm saying, my Lord, where has first class been my entire life?
Come on now.
When it was all done, she came and she took it away, and she said, sir, the dessert tray is coming. I said, already provided for. She said, you're getting it, sir. You're getting it. I said, all right. And she gave me some warm white chocolate macadamia nut cookies. She said, sir, if you need earbuds for the movie, it's free. If you need a pillow, it's free. If you need a blanket, it's free. This is all provided for on first class. As the plane began to land into Miami, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. He said, Tim, so many of my people are flying in coach when I have paid for them to be in first class. He said, they're just happy they're on the plane and they're content with a can of Coke and a packet of pretzels. But if they would escape that coach mentality, they could come up the first class mentality and they could enjoy all these benefits. Folks, do you know what's already been provided for you?
Hallelujah.
Your healing has already been provided. Your deliverance has already been provided for. Your victory has already been provided for. Your breakthrough has already been provided for. Your marriage restored has already been provided for. Your healing, your deliverance, it's all provided for. For he's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But most of us have had this coach mentality that we've not walked in it. Now, folks, I'll tell you, the flight going back, so much different than the flight coming down. Because, see, now I knew what was mine.
Amen.
So when she said, sir, would you like some shrimp cocktail? I said, yes, ma'am, I would. And I think the guy in front of me has a shellfish allergy. I'll take his, too.
Woo, glory.
Sir, would you like the cheese ravioli for lunch? Yes, ma'am, I would. And I believe the guy behind me has a gluten allergy. Go ahead and give me his, too. Sir, would you like that cookies and cream ice cream for dessert? Yes, ma'am. And the lady next to me, I heard, says, has a lactose intolerance. Go ahead and give me hers, too. See, I had no problem receiving what I knew was mine because my mindset had changed. Folks, I believe it's a new season.
Yes, it is.
I believe it's a new season for us, and I believe God wants to bring us into this new season. Amen?
Yes,
he wants us to unbuckle from the coach mentality and step into first class mentality. He wants us to get away from that sinner mindset and embrace the mindset of a saint. He wants you to get away from being the victim and embracing the victor mentality. Amen? But it's a new season for you. It's a new season for you.
Yes, it is.
It's time to come into the new season, shut the door on the past, and embrace the new thing God has for you. So if you're ready to do that, you're ready to embrace the new thing that God has for you. And I know we've got social distancing issues, but I'm just going to say, phooey, we under the blood right now.
Yes.
I want to encourage you that if you're ready to come in that new season, just come crowd around the front, because I'm going to pray a special prayer over you. You're ready for the new season. Go ahead and sing it, Pastor Ricky. We're going to sing this song. It's a new season. Yes, it's a new day.
Oh, it's a new day.
There's a fresh anointing that's coming my way.
It's flowing.
Just crowd right on in. Slide on down and crowd on in. It's a season of power and prosperity.
And prosperity.
It's a new season. It's coming to me. Sing it one more time. Sing it one more time. It's a new season.
It's a new season.
Oh, yes, God, it's a new season. It's a new day. Oh, there's a fresh anointing that's coming your way.
It's flowing my
Oh, it's a season of power.
A season of power.
It's a season of prosperity.
And prosperity.
It's a new season. It's coming.
Coming to me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
yes, God. Oh, just worship Him real quick. Worship Him real quick.
It's a new
Tell Him you're ready for the new season. Tell Him you're ready for the new season. We're closing the door on 2020. Closing the door on the past. Closing the door on the failures of the past. The sickness of the past. The problems of the past.
And prosperity.
Coming into the new season. The new season.
It's a new season coming to me.
Hallelujah. Two different times in the New Testament, Paul the Apostle prayed. One for the church of Ephesus and once for the church of Colossae. He said, I pray that you receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Glory.
He said, I pray you receive it. You know what that tells me? Not everything God gives is automatic. There's certain things we have to receive. Amen? We have to receive it by faith. He said, I pray that you receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. What he was saying was, I pray you get the download. I pray you get this download, right? Now listen, we know what it is to download a book, download a song, download a movie, right? So Paul said, I pray that you get this download of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And what Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus and Colossae, I want to pray today.
Come on.
That God will give you a download
Yes.
right into your spirit man. Just bypass the mind and go right to the spirit man and let him commune spirit to spirit and tell you and affirm to you who you are
Yes.
in Jesus Christ.
Come on. Hallelujah.
And whose you are. Amen. Because some of you, you've been thinking about what you used to be too much. Huh? Loser, failure, misfit, damaged, broken. Huh? Mm-mm. We're going to break that. We're going to receive what God has for you today. So if you're ready to receive the download, get your antennas up in the air. Amen. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for your people like Paul the Apostle prayed for the church of Ephesus and Colossae. I pray that your people right now receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That right now, God, you begin to impart into their spirit man who they are in Jesus Christ. God, begin to bypass the mind and go right to the spirit and commune with them spirit to spirit. Let them know, God, that they're not a zero, they're a hero. Let them know that they're not the sad, they're the glad. They're not the discouraged, they're the encouraged. They're not the loser, they're the winner. They're not the fear-filled, they're the faith-filled. They're not the victim, they're the victor. They're not the overwhelmed, they're the overcomer. They're not the stressed, they're the blessed. They're not the tail, they're the head. They're not beneath, they're above. That they're the apple of your eye, a trophy of your grace, the workmanship of your hand. That they're accepted in the beloved. And that you love them with an everlasting love and you'll never stop loving them. That they've been called for a purpose and on purpose. And they have a destiny to fulfill.
Hallelujah.
Give them, God, this kingdom mindset and let them receive it and retain it and walk in it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want you to make this declaration with me. Say, Jesus, I right now.
By faith.
Receive this download.
Help me today
to walk with a kingdom mindset so I can fulfill my kingdom mission. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord some praise, Pastor.
Oh, it's a new season. Oh, it's a new day, a fresh anointing.
Hallelujah.
is flowing my way.
Hallelujah.
A season of power and prosperity. It's a new season coming to me.
Glory. What by one man's offense, death reigned upon all. Much more. I love that part. Much more. Hallelujah. They which receive abundance of grace shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Praise God. I tell you, I love preaching like that, that elevates us into who we are in Christ Jesus. Tonight we'll be having service at 6 o'clock. So come back this evening expecting a blessing. We have special music and we're getting a kingdom mentality. That is so powerful. And our nation, the church in our nation, certainly needs that, because if the church had the kingdom mentality, we would not have the problems we have in this nation right now. The church is to rise and shine. Amen. Our day has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Look at three people. Stop by the product table. Look at three people and tell them you are blessed and highly favored of God. You are blessed, 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 and highly favored of God. You are blessed, 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 and highly favored of God.